Intro.
The intro music slowly starts.
I used to do drugs.
Oh yeah, we have a show.
And I still do. Yeah, we have a show. But I used to too. It's just random nonsense babbling.
Your mother.
Welcome to the Relative Rewind Podcast.
The one that goes in and out
it
of
was,
the street.
It was the know. Only segue I could think of to get into talking about it because, you know, the namesake of the show. So we were just talking about Delta 8 THC, that's how letters work, is an offshoot of cannabis because you can extract it. It's a legalized
version. That's a bastardized cousin of THC that's derived from hemp.
Which is normally Delta-9 THC. Delta-8 THC can be cultivated from a hemp or cannabis. And since hemp is technically illegal everywhere after 2018 when Congress passed it, it's in a legal gray area. So you can technically get Delta-8 from hemp in non-legalized cannabis states.
Like mine, which you'll be visiting here next episode.
I mean, what do you think? I mean, I'm going there to support local businesses. I know how important tourism is to the state of Michigan.
And we're definitely going to be cultivating from our local farm market.
Yes, our local farm to table to mouth, as they say.
To ingestion to completion.
Farm to...
credits.
Farm to oven to brownie to me getting...
to dropping that brownie 2 days later.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. So we're covering episodes 41 through 46 of Dragon Ball
Super. And you might be thinking, that's a lot of episodes. And we're like, we know there's not a lot too many of these episodes.
Thank God there's not too many like this. Few and far between the bastardized episodes of Dragon Ball Super.
Yeah, the Delta 8 THC of Dragon Ball Super. I mean, I think the only thing that made me really...
this is the Dragon Ball 8 strain?
Yeah.
In a sense? Okay.
Well, what the only thing that made me like, this could only happen in a filler episode of Dragon Ball Z is Goku's having some trouble with instant transmission and he accidentally transports himself to like next to this little girl with glasses who's poking like a giant pile of shit and she's just
pokey poopy.
And then she looks over and she's like, hello. And he's like, oh no. And then teleport and then transmissions away. I was like, yeah, that feels about how this some of these episodes felt.
And we'll get into some of his other mishaps, which are a little more, I wouldn't say adventurous as much as advantageous in a way, but he doesn't look at it as such. I mean, if I was him, I'd look at it as such.
Yeah, technically, according to some of the fan sites that I've looked at, this block of episodes is called the Duplicate Vegeta Saga. I'm like, this is not a saga. The Duplicate Vegeta part takes up 2/6 of these episodes. That's 1/3. That's a two-parter.
This is the Duplicate Vegeta fillers. To be quite honest, like you were already saying, there's a lot of them sprinkled throughout Dragon Ball Super still, but... not quite, and we're always going to refer to this because we were raised on it, we know it really well, the ongoing dialogue between Goku and Frieza over 2 minutes on Namek that lasted 18 episodes, it seemed like, in Dragon Ball Z.
Right, the Spirit Bomb took, well, and we also always refer to the, I don't know if it's like time dilation or whatever, like, so for instance, at some point in these episodes, Vegeta's going to die and disappear, and they say, you've got 5 minutes, cue... 2 20-minute episodes of him having 5 minutes to live.
He's got 5 minutes in the first one. Then another episode starts. Okay, I've only got 3 minutes left. Shut the fuck up and just hope everything turns out the right way.
Yeah, if everyone
he kind of confuses later.
Yeah, everyone just has like these leisurely conversations whenever they're watching someone fight. Like a lot of times they're like, oh, look at the power on that one. But a lot of the other times they're just like, what are you ordering for takeout? I don't know. What are you ordering for takeout? I'm thinking about ordering the noodles. Okay, I'm glad we figured out what we're ordering for takeout. Oh, wow. Yeah, they just talk like so ploddingly.
In and out.
Yeah.
Monotone, boring, bullshitty. So we started all off with...
oh, that's right. We
grant my wish, peas and carrots.
Which, I have to ask, What is the name of the galaxy super? Is it just Super Shenron?
That's what he was called in this episode.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, is that it? Are you just went Shenron but super?
Well, if you remember, he isn't quite Dragon Ball Super. He's more like Dragon Ball Super when he gets, you know, all stretched out and everything first. It's like, what the fuck is this? Why is this dragging on for so long?
Yeah, I felt like I was watching the final 12 minutes of 2001 A Space Odyssey.
I felt like I was watching the, you'll know the name of this. Oh, God. Never Ending Story. The long caterpillar dog thing that flies.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. I don't remember the name of the...
The only name that comes to mind is Sebastian, but that's the kid's name, isn't it?
I think so. No.
There's listeners out there who are probably like, it's fucking death, and you're like, this isn't live chat. We'll get there. We're working on it.
Is it Falcor?
But Falcor. Yep, that's it. The giant long Shenron of dogs. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, and speaking of sci-fi references, we get quite a few in these whenever Vegeta's about to like phase out of existence, I got some, wow, he's going to disappear as quickly as Marty McFly's family in that photo from Back to the Future. I was like, oh, it did, no.
It was heavy with that, wasn't it? It was real heavy with that theme. It was tasteful.
Yeah, we've got to get the sports almanac back from Goku Biff.
And Goku does kind of seem like Biff in this at more than a handful of times throughout these five episodes.
I mean, he doesn't get covered in manure nearly as often as Biff.
Nobody did encounter, like you pointed out, he did encounter manure.
He did.
Yes.
Indirectly, even though he wasn't the one poking it.
Yeah. But was that girl in direct contact either?
No, she was holding a stick.
Yes, there was always have a safe barrier, kids. Whenever you're poking something, put a barrier there. That's good life advice. Why the hell would anyone who doesn't know that be listening to this? I applaud you.
So
slow 80s clap. Congratulations. You get us.
I love intentionally clapping on the ones and the threes, just
completely offbeat. No, but and that's always, if you remember, because I got that straight in my head right away. It's always that nerd who's just like, anyone else? There was a movie that actually emphasized that. It's like, really, dude? Not now. Probably not another teen movie.
Oh, I do like that movie.
They're tacky, but they were great. They don't make movies or spoof movies like that anymore. Like, what was that one with Charlie Sheen? Oh, damn. Hot Shots. And then Hot Shots Part 2 or Naked Gun, they don't make them.
I got to say, second Hot Shots, I wasn't that big of a fan of. I really do like the first one, though.
Sequels are never all that good, but then again, Naked Guns, they're still
solid.
Which
one was O.J. Simpson in? Was he in the original or one of the sequels?
He was in one, two. He was in two of them. I can't remember. It was definitely the first one. I can't remember if he was or wasn't in the second one, but he was in the third one.
Yeah, I mean,
because he gets shot like 19 times. Nordberg.
You know what's funny is that wasn't my first exposure to Leslie Nielsen. I mostly knew him from the Mr. Magoo remake that came out in like the late 90s. And I was like, people think this guy is funny.
It's because, because he's been doing that comedy style for so long. It's people his age are the only ones that get it, and which is why my mom's dad had an old VHS of Leslie Nielsen, Bad Golf Made Easier. That's how I was introduced to it. And then I saw him in Naked Gun, and I started seeing him everywhere else. I was like, this guy's funny. Airplane is how I was introduced to him, actually.
It's been a long time since I've seen that.
Oh, it's always a great one. So Beerus wishes for a more comfortable bed at some point.
Well, that's what he tells them. Well, we meet the Omni-King, who is the king of all of the universes. And he's this little, you know...
The 12 universes.
Yeah, the 12 universes. And he's this little, like, squeaky toy-sized blue guy who likes to say, mm-hmm, Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just think of the picture you should have in your head of Grand Zeno is, you know, those blue, the Pokemon that kind of look like squishy, like stress toys.
Yeah.
Or if you squeeze them, their ears go whoop. Yeah, that's kind of Grand Zeno.
Yeah, and he's like, I heard you were having a tournament.
I'm very offended you didn't invite me.
I watched. We should have one across all the universes. That's not foreshadowing. Goodbye.
And the guards leave with later, Gators.
Yeah, I thought that was...
So... I mean, the peas and carrots, kind of funny. Childish, like some an easy way to say please. But then later, Gators, it's like you went from being a toddler to now you're in middle school. How is this fluctuation going to work out the rest of these? This,
yeah, I mean, it's got to be hard to be Vegeta a translator saga. For Funimation or for any like anime translation where you're just thinking, how does this exactly translate to English? To English exactly? I guess peas and carrots and later Gator make them seem funny and whimsical.
Well, the funny thing about it is the personalities of a lot of the Dragon Ball characters are based on American interpret or Japanese interpretations of American culture. So Goku is like in Dragon Ball Z, he was like the American teenager of the 80s, because that's when that was all originally written. And if you think about it, it still matches up. Really stupid. Really naive, but
absentee dad.
Put him in a corner. He's an yeah.
Still loves his
so
kids.
So Beerus didn't actually wish for a comfortable bed. The most comfortable bed, that's what he told everyone. Because the wishes had, as well as the dragon being summoned, the Supreme Shenron, Grand Shenron,
Super Shenron, like
that. He's Super Shenron. That's right, because he's. Golden Shenron.
Right, and you have to summon Super Shenron in the divine language, which is something only gods speak, like Whis and Beerus.
So for them to use the divine language back and forth completely leaves everyone out of the loop. So he's, I could say whatever I want. When really what Beerus wished for was the sixth? Yeah, it's the sixth. Yeah. The sixth universe is
Earth
to be restored and all that crap. And it was a really good gesture. I like kind of backhanded compliment thing to Ciampa. Like, here, I'll throw you this scrap. Let's see if it's any good, because Ciampa does know that Goku and Vegeta are not from Earth. They just have the best food.
Yeah, I think so. I think he knows that they're... Yeah. Well, he was listening when they were fighting the other Saiyan, that Vegeta, the little one.
Oh, I can never remember his name. Anyway.
That one.
Yeah. Insert edit.
Actually, his name is... What the hell?
You know, but just cut in and post and be like... Okay, we're both fucking stupid. The guy's name is like Cole Steele or something.
Cole
stupid.
Steele. That's like an action hero.
I don't know. I kind of got Mortal Kombat.
It's like a late
70s Zoolander.
Like spy porn parody.
Oh my God. I've got a spyglass that needs inspecting. Oh, I'm not going down that rabbit hole.
What should we inspect it with, nurse? Good idea. I think your breasts will make great amplification devices. I'm glad it was your idea and not mine.
Your breastises is the bestises. And once back on Beerus' world, Goku wants a sparring match with Menaka, who turns out to be a galactic delivery man who is handsomely rewarded in... his own words, holy freaking crap way that Beerus for motivating Goku, thinking that somebody's stronger.
Okay, but here's what I don't get. The
training.
He's got fuck you money basically now. Why is he still working? in the next episode? Is it just to have a reason to have him show up for the rest of these episodes?
Yeah, it's in the script. It's a plot line.
Okay, so he just doesn't know what to do with himself otherwise? Is that what we're supposed to think?
I mean, if you were born with abnormally large nipples and your name in your native language is nipples, if you had fuck you money, wouldn't you take all the hottest like bitches around you that have like bigger nipples than you to like make you look normal in comparison?
Well, I don't know.
Like,
does my race have
be like
have
the Hugh
dogs?
Hefner? What's that?
Does Menaka's race have dogs?
Dogs?
Yeah, you said bitches.
Oh. Yeah, because dogs' nipples do get really big, don't they?
Do they?
I don't know. Can you milk a dog?
You can milk a goat.
I can milk a cat. The female doesn't like it, but for some reason, the male one puts out more. I don't know. So that brings
different
us to
kind
the
of
end
milk
of episode
in that
41.
Case.
It's a little more protein rich.
Spicy. A little salty, depending on what you eat. Anyway.
I don't know. Want to know why it would be spicy.
You don't, exactly. Scary. You don't want to know. Anyway, moving on.
No, that's in inner
moving
species.
On.
King shaming.
Moving on.
Episode 42 after...
Oh, that we forgot segue. The 5 minutes where they're like, where's the seventh Super Dragon Ball? Well, we were on it the whole time. All right. Episode 42.
See, I forgot about that. Just like they all had that information and realization looked over their heads. And who pointed it out? Little Miss Hottie Android 18.
Yeah.
She's looking at the dragon radar and Bulma's like, I don't see anything. She's like, here, look closer. They're all there.
Well, I thought
she
it was Menaka that,
like, that
he mentioned like.
No, he's the one. Yeah, he's the one that said, because 18 pointed it out that they're all seven there, but it did. They couldn't understand why. And Menaka saying, oh, I spend a lot of time looking at cosmic maps. You have to think three dimensionally. Because they're looking at a flat map. You have to like stand, like actually take a different perspective and realize, holy crap, if they're all there, we can see the six, do some freaking math. But apparently that's an ongoing trend that nobody else understands in that universe.
Oh, speaking of Back to the Future references, there is a line in part three where the doc says, Marty, you're not thinking fourth dimensionally.
Yeah. More Back to the Future.
I'm sorry. It just put me in the mindset, the whole disappearing Vegeta thing. It makes me want to rewatch all of them.
It does, actually. That wouldn't be a bad idea. That's a good YouTube video. The similarities between this dumb little saga and Back to the Future.
I'm sure it would get at least 1,000 views.
I would hope so. So Whis is talking to Bulma about a victory party where when Bulma mentions to bring up Menaka and Beerus knows Goku's plan already and he wants to avoid like the inevitable sparring match between the two of them. This plan backfires.
I will
so
say this
epically.
Filler episode I did enjoy a lot.
This was a good one. I agree.
Because it was like a comedy of manners where it's like, we have to keep this lie from coming out. How do we fix it? So
we're doing a bad thing, but we have great intentions.
Yeah.
That's never backfired before.
I mean, it literally happened. It's literally the plot of every English Restoration and Shakespeare comedy that has existed for the past like 400 years.
Hey, I'll just do another slow clap. Because on that note, it's a reminder, after the 4th of July, we are back-to-back as America, World War champs. Just saying. Isso facto.
And also, you should beer us as a sponsor for our show by giving us beer that we can drink on air. Because
I am quite parched, and you know, you can drink a lot of Coke, and all you'll get is diabetes.
Yeah, and
it's not a good
you can
buzz.
Drink a lot of... sparkling water and get a lot of sparkling urine.
There's a good spot to put some crickets in there.
Sparkling water, everybody. I'm working on my...
No, I'm saying like, no, crickets. That's the new trend too. Everyone's going back to eating insects. Like they try every 10
years.
Oh,
I thought it was
so.
Cicadas.
Well, Well, that too, but there's a lot more of those cricket suckers and grasshopper popsicle brands popping up again.
I'd rather drink my own cum than eat a grasshopper.
You know, surprisingly, for the effort it takes to produce that, it's a good toss-up between just eating a handful of crickets and feeling good about myself. So anyway,
those 5 minutes and 24 seconds and then not feeling like I'm going to die alone.
And then I'm going to spend the rest of the hour I allotted for that activity just bawling up in the corner and crying.
I mean,
very
man, I've manned up considerably. I only cry for 3 hours instead of the normal six.
It's still enough to wear you out to go to sleep, but it's definitely long enough to do the slow jerk with your own tears as loop.
And now
make a movie out of that, Mel Gibson.
And now I'm not yelling, "Mommy." I'm usually like, "Why?"
You know, speaking of mommy.
That's a terrible.
Yeah, no, this one's gonna hit home for you. This one's gonna hit home for you. Hey, your mom's staying at my mom's.
She is. You know. That's right. Yeah, my mom is currently visiting the great state of Michigan.
You see, there wasn't a joke there. I'm stating a fact. At this current moment, our moms are occupying a dwelling.
Well, that's good. They get along.
They do. Dad's probably passed out as of like 5 hours ago.
Well, doesn't...
So Mr. Satan shows off his mask out of Monaco.
Is it the last episode where he was like trying to offer like the sponsorship deal to Monaco that yields the costume from episode 42?
Yes, and there's even a flashback of it too. He's like, "Hey, I hope you consider my business deal." And then ding, flashback moment. "Hey, I should make you a mascot. Your face will look great on a hat."
I wish that it had been like the dialogue. "Did you have time to think of the business deal?" And then it goes back like, "We should do a business deal." And then it just cuts back.
Yeah, just like so 80s, like flashback scene, like, "Hey, see it happen. Okay, we're back."
And then Mr. Satan made a larger, like, a costume of Monaco wearing like a cloak on like sort of like Piccolo's.
Because Monaco's only about like, what, 4 feet tall?
Yeah.
It's more of a normal, average human-sized version of Monaco.
It's like what...
With even bigger nipples!
It's like what Vin Diesel and Tom Cruise and Arnold Schwarzenegger do in real life, is they stand on those apple crates to make themselves look taller on screen. But this is like in a costume form.
They're like, "Look how much taller you're looking as someone else being you."
So I got a question for you. Why is it illegal in Kentucky to do reverse cowgirl?
Is that illegal?
Yeah. You know why?
"You never turn your back on family."
You never do turn your back on family.
That's the only Vin Diesel family meme I saw that was even worth reading, because the rest of them I can speed read through and it's like, stupid, stupid. This one's good.
Oh, there was one. I don't know. Are you familiar with the, there's like that famous, my brother Aaron showed me this. So like, I don't know this just off the top of my head, I promise. But, have you ever heard of, Kevin, the trend in pornography recently where step brothers and stepsisters is like a big thing?
Recently? That was like a big thing 2 years ago.
Yeah, no, it still is.
Brother does scared sister during tornado is my favorite. That's my go-to.
Have you heard of the? There's
good
a really infamous
one
where this stepsister gets stuck in the washing machine or the dryer.
Oh, see, speaking of trends, yeah, that's another one. Is sisters getting stuck, bent over in objects, and by some way of physics, everything they try, you can't get them out. Shy of using the jaws of life, which may cut their head off, the only way you could physically get them out is having somebody in your immediate family fuck you.
Yeah, and that was the Vin Diesel meme that I saw, was that she said, "Help, step brother, I'm stuck," and it just says, "The things I do for family."
Oh, like, God. Okay, that's a good, yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, it's gross as fuck, but I was like, okay, if I wasn't, if Aaron hadn't made me aware of that, would have been like, I don't get it. She's stuck. Why don't they just, like, cut it open with, like, a saw or something?
See, it's become a sign of the times where it's, I mean, it, obviously, with everyone being every letter of the alphabet they can fucking think of right now, they finally cut it off with just a plus. So it's never going to end. Sexuality in porn is about as talked about now as it's been since the military's been around. Like, hey, look at this sketch I just saw. Like, to now where it's, hey, man, I'm sending you a picture of my dick. No reason, just thought you would appreciate it. Okay, that took a turn, but that's, yeah. Hey, I love the Marines. Anyway, that could come out wrong.
I was going to say, you sending a picture of your dick is how you show your appreciation for the Marine
Corps?
Yeah,
it's like, hey, good morning. Look, I put a hat on it.
Look, it's saluting.
It yeah. So back to the mascot with enormous nipples, where this kind of started the spiral. So let's see here what happened. Trunks knocks over Monaka after fighting over snacks with Goten.
Yeah, because they find out Monaka is a galactic delivery guy because he delivers all the desserts.
That's right.
That Bulma ordered. Like, she got
for the victory party.
For the victory party, because that Whis and Beerus are coming to.
Yeah, because it was part of Beerus's plan to be like, oh no, we'll just tell him Monaco was busy with work. When Monaco really was busy with work and showed up ahead of Beerus, starting the backfiring of the plan. Because they're like, you didn't know that this was a party? You were inviting. Oh no, Lord Beerus never told me. Oh, come on, let's hang out. Well, I'm kind of at work. Monaco, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. So he's kind of like the side, he's like the alien version, the little pink bitch version of Mr. Satan. Getting
Which credit
is why
for Mr. Satan
nothing.
Seems to like him so much.
Yeah. And of course, he's under the impression, too. Does he even get let in on the secret later that Monaka's all just a ploy anyway?
I think he is just by virtue, because he's like, that costume was expensive to make.
Oh, boy, was it ever useful.
So
Beerus ever caught in this lie.
Yeah, and Vegeta, everybody else that's there is like, oh no, Monaka is just a whiner and not as strong as that. And then Whis and Beerus arrive and they're like, oh no, we've been figured out. And they're like, but Goku can't ever find out. And then Goku shows up seconds later and he's like, I can't find out what. And they're like, you startled me. And then Chi-Chi does the only thing that the writers know how to have her do, which is to scold Goku into going to get changed because he's still being farming man. And he's like, okay, I'll go unfarming man and be and change to fighting man. I'll be back. Shloop. And then they're like, okay, well, Beerus, you gotta, I don't know, you can wear the costume and fight as
Oh, you forget.
Monaka.
Oh, just before that, Beerus puts in a condition to Goku. He's like, well, Monaka's still worn out from the fight, and that's why he's working. He's just resting. And if you want to fight him, give him some time to kind of relax a bit. You need to do a trillion sit-ups. He's like, a trillion? Okay. So he goes off into the distance a little bit and lays down, starts doing a trillion, like, starts a trillion. He's like, okay, one, two, and then bah, 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 banging them all out, and then comes up, like, what, literally 45 seconds later?
Yeah, because he doesn't know how to count to a trillion.
Yeah, he's just like, yeah, I can do a trillion. Look, 1 trillion, 2 trillion. He's like, no, I meant count, not time it. It should have taken you 3 years to do this at this pace and blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, Goku ever the smartest hero ever.
He's such a goldfish when it comes to anything but fighting.
So, yeah, Trunks was the one who suggests that because Monaka is knocked out as usual.
Yeah, he has like a weird dissociative, like, ability.
It's like the sheep defense. You stress the sheep out, they just flop over. It's the same. It's kind of the same thing because it's like playing dead or like playing possum, playing sheep, whatever. The same. It's the same defense mechanism. If you're not moving, a predator would think you're dead and leave you alone. Which is the, oh my God, just the worst, absolute worst choice for Beerus. So he finally gets faced with the reality of somebody's going to have to fight Goku as Menaka. And Trunks is like, okay, so Goku doesn't know Menaka all that well. He only saw him do one punch. If all the Saiyans can transform and everyone else basically did transform at the tournament, why couldn't Menaka have that ability?
Yeah, so that Goku leads to grabs
Beerus putting on the costume. Yeah,
Goku grabs Menaka by the hand and he's like, "All right, let's go fight now." And then he's like, "Where could we do this?" And Krillin does what is it?
Solar flare.
Solar flare. I hadn't seen that since like.
And he's like,
he hasn't done that in long time.
Yeah, he. It's one of his best moves, actually.
I think his his cutting disc thing is one of the cooler ones that he
Destructo
has.
Disc?
Yeah.
That's a really, really, really useful one, but Solar Flare is too. But I love, this is the thing that I've always wondered about, this whole Dragon Ball series, everything about it. Because Krillin, just before he does the Solar Flare, he yells to Goku to get his attention, and then he's like, "I'm sorry about this, buddy," and he's got his hands in position. Did Goku not hear the second half of what he said? Because he heard enough to start turning around, but he didn't hear "sorry." Like, that's kind of a warning, like he's about to do some shady shit that you're going to wish you found some shade in.
I don't think he did hear it because he has that line later where like after being blinded, he sees Beerus in the Menaka costume and he said, "Oh, that light must have been Menaka powering up."
Oh yeah, because solar, yeah, the continuities or the timeline's a little hard to understand because 3 minutes can last 10 episodes or it can last 2. I don't understand. But the solar flare is supposed to be like instantaneous, hence giving the transformation transition, I guess. So now Menaka goes from the little 4-foot thing to it's really Beerus inside a human-sized Menaka mascot costume, which is just it's a good cover-up, but it backfires too.
As they start to like trade blows, like Beerus's fist pops out of one of the arms.
That was the first time that they connected fists on one of the initial, like one of the handful of strikes. It was the first thing. And it's like, you can't see purple through pink. Like the boots were distracting to me because, in the Menaka costume, which did you notice it said Satan Jim on the huge belt buckle?
No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah. I mean the size of Texas belt buckle and says Satan Jim on it. And he's got the same kind of cape that Mr. Satan wears.
I mean, now that you mention it, Mr. Satan should be from Texas if he were American.
Yeah. I mean, that same garbled kind of voice and the little bit of accent.
Oh, yeah. Which is we're going to get that oil. Texas.
There's a funnier accent that it kind of kept me guessing and like confused. And it's the next episode or two. We'll get to it. So now in episode 43, Goku cut his hunger short very beginning.
Before we do that,
of the episode.
Can I mention my favorite part of this episode as they struggle to keep it up? So as the pieces of the costume are sort of coming off, like Whis puts a halt to the fight at the very end. But before that, Piccolo and Vegeta just kind of like intervene because like Goku kicks the back of the Menaka costume and Beerus's tail almost falls out. And so like, they're like, "Oh no, Menaka must have the ability to control people. He's doing this to my arm." And the way that Piccolo does.
And Piccolo is acting so weird. Oh yeah. Oh, what? Like I wish we could, The expressions that he has are so
and then
so
Vegeta
bad. Oh look, and he just reaches his arm
Vegeta
way out
says,
and gets him.
"You're a terrible actor."
And then continues to act even worse than Pig. Oh, it's got me too. Oh, I can't control my body. Like, you're controlling it to say you can't control it. What are you doing?
Right, and then like, Whis stops them after both of Beerus's fists and the costume's pretty much ruined. But he's like, stop. Or what's the excuse that he gives to give them to get them to stop the fight? Like,
this is a celebration, or this is an exhibition match, not a full-on fight. Because any more, well, okay, so Beerus cracked. Like, he was starting to be annoyed when he was first fighting in the mascot costume. But he kind of, at a certain point, after the horrible acting by Piccolo and Vegeta, he snapped in that moment and was just like, assumed the whole role of it and had fun with it. And that's where it started to get a little more dangerous. And that's why we stopped it, because the costume started falling apart everywhere. His tail was sticking out. He was missing an ear. Shy of just losing a nipple, Monaco costume was not recognizable anymore. Look,
that's the sound of losing a nipple.
Is it? Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, would it be a plunk, or would it be a plunk? Because
that would be
the
sound
of
losing two nipples.
Okay.
At the same time. Oh, and then Yamcha almost ruins everything by being like, wow, I can't believe they fell for it when Monaco was over there the whole time. And then Goku doesn't pick up on it, and he just says, wow, Monaco, I didn't know that you could, like, have...
You could split yourself just like Boo. And it's like, dude, okay, Yamcha, I'm really surprised that nobody tried to kill you right there, or you just didn't assume the position. It's like muscle memory for
no,
you,
he
buddy.
Needs to play sheep.
He just, yeah. Speaking of playing sheep, so as Goku was dragging Monaco out initially, before like the whole Beerus switcheroo happened, Chaozu out of nowhere is like, oh, I'll stop him. And he like freezes Goku.
In like his
and
light.
And here's little tiny Chaozu. Yeah, he's just like, oh, Monaco's doing something to stop me. Nope, this is happening. And he's fighting through it, and Chaozu's getting dragged behind. This is all I've got. Dude, you got dragged 6 inches, and you're, like, a step away from
all
dying.
All I was thinking
now.
Was, wait, Chaozu's alive? He should go back to being dead. That's about how useful Chaozu is.
Chaozu is actually a ghost to begin with.
He is?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Why do you think he's white like that?
I thought he was a mime. Or some shit.
Might be a ghost of a mime.
The worst all kind of ghost that the... I mean, is that the best or worst kind of ghost? They can't really haunt you because they don't make noise.
That's psychological torture no matter which way you slice it, dude. I don't want to look at a mime. I don't want to try and spend the brain RAM or energy on like trying to figure out what the fuck are you trying to do. Are you stuck in a microwave? Do you want me to put you in a microwave? Okay, that's it. I'm grabbing a knife. I don't have time for mimes.
And what's the name
of
the
cat? Course, oh god, you know, I couldn't even think of it earlier. As I was watching that part, I couldn't think of it. Because that's definitely...
Corrin.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Corrin's tower.
Wait.
No, that's not Corrin.
No, that's not Corrin. Corrin's an old cat. I'm talking
Corrin's
about the...
a white one. He's the one with the sensu beans that hangs around
Yajirou. I thought it was
Puar.
It's Puar.
Yeah,
he's a
shapeshifter.
And so he shapeshifts into Beerus, because Beerus is in the costume, and in Puar's voice he says, you both fought very well.
Absolutely nothing Beerus would ever say.
And his eyes
like,
still look
this like you would have been. You should have just said, "Stop it! You look stupid," and that would have been more believable. Horrible acting all around. I'm glad. Wait, Yamcha is okay. He does martial arts exhibitions, and he's a baseball player. Yeah, he's not an actor. Okay, so that's the closest we had.
I'd say Piccolo is a better, more convincing actor than Yamcha is.
Yeah, Yamcha should just play dead or be dead.
Well, no, they should have all just said, here, take Yamcha. Beerus.
So episode 43 starts with Goku is surrounded by bowls of food back at home. And he's like, okay, I'm good. As Chi-Chi's still cooking more, and she's like, wait, what's wrong with you? You barely touched. He had like, what, four bowls of food?
Yeah, it was four-ish. Well, and this is his Spider-Man 2 thing where he overexerted himself. Remember in like Spider-Man 2 where his webs stopped coming out as much? And he's like, oh no. And then he keeps crashing because he can't control his energy. So he goes to see King Kai and he has like delayed energy, onset energy.
Oh, wait. Right before that, though, he's like, oh, I'll go see King Kai. He'll know what's going on with me. So he tries to use instant transmission. The first place he ends up because he can't control. He can't control where he goes. So he ends up standing up at the foot of Bulma's bed.
I thought he was sitting on the bed.
No, he sat down after a few seconds, like being like, I can't, where am I? Whatever. Like he sat down and had to think about it. But you see a woman get out of the shower, drying off her hair.
Yeah, she's like,
still
Vegeta, remember Trunks has a thing tomorrow at school and I want you to be there. And then she's like, Goku, what the hell are you doing here? And he's like, trust me, I'm just as confused as you are. And then Vegeta comes in and he's like, Kakarot, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, don't worry. I don't want to see your boobies. They're too
saggy. He's like, don't worry, Vegeta. I'm not here for Bulma. Her boobs are too saggy for me.
Also, I love that the security system, like the little laser things pop out like a full 10, like a full 20 seconds after Goku's already in the room.
Yeah, he's been chilling. Like, well, one, there's that hell of a delay. Two, it wouldn't do anything to him anyway.
Oh, I know. If he was not Goku and just like a regular schmo who was trying to break in, that delay is pretty valuable time that the security system should be working.
But if you think about it, it sticks with the ongoing like 80s theme. 80s comedy, like Back to the Future, where something's delayed and it's like, oh, come on. Like that cheesy comedy.
Oh, no.
It's the only good comedy we got left.
It doesn't work as I thought it would.
So it was, what was it? Delayed energy consumption depletion?
Delayed.
Something like that.
It was like Doan or something, energy nonsense or some shit. Like, I don't remember.
He basically overexerted
King Kai
himself.
Has like a space medical journal.
He had a manual.
Book, and he's like, it's definitely this. Because of how he exerted himself using Kaioken and being Super Saiyan Blue against Hit. And going like into the future to fight like the second.
And that's the... That's the thing I had. I'm glad that I'm rewatching all these again because that's something I didn't pick up on. Saying that he wasn't predicting the moves when he was fighting Hit, he was actually forcing himself forward in time. King Kai goes on to say that it's stretching the abilities of what's even possible
for a mortal. Yeah.
Yeah.
With his mind, body, and energy. And that if he exerts himself without resting properly, he'd probably not be able to fight anymore or die or all that good stuff.
So Goku returns home after destroying his own home.
By crash landing into
Chi-Chi it. Chi-Chi off. Yep, crashed right through it.
Also, I love that we have Chi-Chi a line off, where Goku says, oh, I forgot the horse meat.
Yeah, but... is that... Well... In America, that's like a stereotype, isn't it? To say, oh, don't eat at this Asian place or whatever.
It's very much a pretty...
Do horse and cat, but it is. And as like you just said, it's pretty common. That's what they do.
Well, I mean, they eat whatever, like a lot of places, not just in Asia, but like agrarian places all over, they eat whatever animals they have.
Especially if their country, well, ours hasn't, well, has been at that point once in the late 20s, where you had no choice. You're so economically strapped for everything that it's, hey, look, here's a rat. I'm going to have to eat it or I'm going to die.
And to think that nobody else
day-to-day life
cooks and eats horse meat. Like, it's a lot of meat, dude. Like,
Mongolians, Russians,
the entire state of Siberians. Arkansas,
Nebraska.
No, 30% of Arkansas.
30, just that silent S.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because they have to put their Arkansas onto it.
Nah, they got to arc their sauce onto it.
Yeah, you know, with the ladle.
Ah, gotcha.
I'm an expert on Arkansas. Please don't hate me.
Oh, it's where Clinton's from, so they're definitely used to arcing some sauce. As we
maybe not in the same way.
Infamous black dress. Oh God! Leave no trace, you idiots. So Gohan meets with a professor to find out about, more about this opportunity
and,
to become
sorry to
his
interrupt,
assistant.
But have you noticed that the professor and the old guy protecting the magic transformation water, they both have the German accent because everybody in Dragon Ball has to talk like this if they are old or...
No. And that's what I was saying earlier is it was really confusing to hear because if he's talking low, it's like German, okay? But then when he's up there, I can't do it, but it's a French accent. Like when he's excited, it was French, but when he's just talking normal, it was German. Like, what the... can you make up what mind I'm supposed to be in right now?
So with Goku's aren't consistent in real life.
No, never. Never. So with Goku's home destroyed, Chi-Chi, Goten, and Goku
go to stay with Gohan
and kind of at the same time relieve Piccolo of being a babysitter for Pan.
Well, they do, but then they don't because Piccolo's like, I don't want to watch her anyway. But also, you have to do all this stuff. And she likes this, and you should watch her at all times. And then he leaves, and he's like, well, actually, you still should probably consider this, too. Because he really just doesn't want to leave.
You gotta make duck noises when you read the book about butterflies. What the fuck? And then we get a little side note here. Pilaf and the gang show up.
They bought a fighting robot or a giant robot because they heard the Goku...
Power suit.
Yeah, power suit because Goku is on basically bed rest or whatever, or not fight... no fighting. That's basically it.
He was resting on King Kai's planet, wasn't he? No, yeah, that's right. He was already home. Yeah, everyone had to tell him...
Yeah, and they're like, oh no, we...
slow down.
Let's not lose Pan. And Pan has powers because she ends up finding Pilaf
revealing
the gang,
them,
and they take her into the robot, and then the robot go boom, and Pan flies them into the sky because she's a Saiyan, and then
see right there too, she's up in space and she's talking, she's breathing, and they're in outer space beyond low Earth orbit, and she's breathing and talking. Pilaf's breathing and talking, but he's an alien. Mai's breathing and talking. The frickin' dog, whose name escapes me. It's forever going to be dog because that's what you initially always told me it was. He's talking and breathing. Dude, you're in space. How did you not explode? Now you got to look it up again, don't you?
Maybe.
So we conclude that whole nice family thing with Pan finally calling Goku grandpa.
Yeah, after Goku was the one that was like, oh, Pan, you're going to go to the stars. If I could power up, I'd take you all the way up there.
She was reaching out, trying to touch him. Reaching
out. Oh, it's Shu.
Trying to touch him and stuff. Yeah. It's Shu?
Shu.
The dog's name is Shu?
Yes.
H-S-H-O-O?
S-H-U.
Okay. Well, that makes more sense. So that brings us into episode 44 after that heartwarming episode. And good comedy in that one a little bit. Open with an old cockroach wearing a pacifier necklace being approached by three, like, I don't know, triangle head
burly
guys.
Alien dudes.
Really,
and they're like, give us the thing. And he's like, I don't want to give you the thing. Give us the thing. I don't want to give you the thing. Run.
And then cut to...
Minaka making a delivery to Bulma.
Yet again, just like you said earlier, plot, like, just had to keep finding ways to bring him back in and bring him back
in. He's like, Minaka, don't you have enough money to have, like, an island and never work again? Yeah. Well...
Like, what are you doing? I'm just doing it. Like, what? Okay.
Okay.
And then Minaka drops off his, oh, no. So Bulma gets that package, and then...
She conscripts him into doing an experiment where he holds, like, a funnel. A funnel and, like, a bunch of liquid. We have no idea. We're not cued into what's happening at all.
Not... foreshadowing one bit in the next saga. So,
I didn't know that. I just thought it was like random science happen. And he's like, I'm late for my delivery on planet where things are going to happen. And
Potafu.
Yeah. Well, I know. I just like wanted to call it.
It was
Goten and Trunks stow away in the delivery truck on accident.
Yeah, because they come in while freaking Minaka's holding that funnel for whatever the hell liquid. We'll find out soon what it is.
Okay, and... but minorest of minor details. When Goten and Trunks are in the back of the delivery truck, there's a radio station that Minaka's listening to.
No. What led them? Hold on. Speaking of foreshadowing, so what brought Goten and Trunks to the back of the delivery truck is... one, curiosity. You're like, oh, what else, what kind of goodies does he have?
Oh, what's the sword. The sword, yeah.
Trunks sees is a sword. Yeah. And then Goten finds a little, like, bear toy. And he's like, oh, let's check it out. So he opens it. And it's an instant inflating toy, which quickly occupies the entirety of the back of the delivery truck, which snaps the doors open even more so they... snap shut, locking them in.
Which is how doors work.
Minaka gets in the truck, takes off to planet Potafu, turns on the galactic radio, and I'm sure you're itching to talk about this part.
Yeah, I mean, they're like, oh, this is our talk radio. We have a thing from an anonymous delivery person who says that they work for company. Because I forget the name of the company that he works for, but it's basically... it's
Galactic Express.
Yeah, Galactic Express.
Oh, wait, is that Future... maybe that's Futurama. No, that
that's
was Planet,
Planet
Express.
Express. Yeah.
I was close. It's similar.
Oh, so similar. But it says, and he says, whenever I see something marked as fragile, I destroy it or throw it away, something like that.
I proceed to set it on fire.
That's it. And I'm like...
and then Minaka gets his deep, devilish grin to it. And he's like, yes, I do. Everybody who works in some kind of delivery eventually gets some kind of degree of going postal. Where you're like, you know what? Even pizza delivery guys. I've gotten to the point, but I didn't actually do it. Where... you can't please the customer and you have their product knowing they're going to consume it. And you're like, possibly. No, I'm better than that. They're not paying me enough to do this shit. So you shouldn't do it.
But could you?
Oh, it could easily.
Yeah.
Oh, I could do it as easy as breathing oxygen.
Oh, no, I meant, which is actually, I should have said, but would you?
No, it's not worth it.
Oh, no, not you personally. I mean the general
public?
Hypothetical you.
Hypothetical me? Yeah, it wouldn't be out of my mouth fluid.
I mean, it just makes me think of the...
I'd give it more class, more effort.
What's that scene from Fight Club where... it's like, oh, Mr. Durden, sir, we're so honored to have you. He's like, yeah, I'd like some food without bodily fluids or spit in it. And he said, well, then, sir, may I recommend against ordering the clam chowder? And I'm like, ugh.
God.
It's a great joke because it's just implied.
Yeah, it's very implied, especially by the texture. So anyway, speaking of texture of bodily fluids, the threesome bump into the cockroach man.
Who also talks like this, and he has magic water.
Superhuman water protected by a pacifier necklace. So the goons show up after Goten, Trunks, Monaka, Cockroach Guy. The three guys that were initially chasing him turned into like 20. And Trunks and Goten go and fight up after Monaka passes out and the old man loses his pacifier necklace. So he's kind of like, oh no, where is it? Where is it? And
guys take pacifier, go open thing. Vegeta shows up looking because Bulma had security cameras on the delivery truck and she's like, oh, Monaka said he was going here. And Vegeta's like, I'll go, fine. And he shows up, he beats a bunch of them. And then it turns out that the magic water actually makes copies of people. And it manages to copy Vegeta by engulfing him and spitting him out. So it takes on Vegeta's form, but saps him of all of his power and fighting abilities.
But not perfect copy form. He's still a purple goo.
Yeah, imagine those Elmer's glue sticks, that kind of purple. And I did like the animation was actually like very actually looked kind of deformed and not perfect. On purpose.
It kind of looked like a first-year art student drew it.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, it still turned out looking good.
What was the water called? It's like Comasone or...
Yeah.
Okay, that's what
it's called. Comasone.
It says here Comasone. Comeson.
Oh. Well, with the German Dutch...
It's a Comasone.
Yes, you must get back my ex chromosome.
Yeah, it sounds like chromosome. You're right. Anyway, magic water, what happened? That's the end of episode 44. And then Vegeta manages to escape at the beginning of episode 45 with the rest of them. And old cockroach man is like, oh no, you got that. It copy you and now you will disappear. Those thieves are probably... melting as we speak, because it only takes 5 minutes. And then we cut back to the thieves who stole the water and like all the purple ones that were like after there. And it's like, oh no, we're disappearing. Blah, die. Goten and Trunks try to take on duplicate Vegeta. And there's like the prime form that the Comasone did with like that initial thief. That's trying to be like, go get them and absorb them. And then duplicate Vegeta's like, I'd rather fight. And he sort of like breaks away under the influence of.
Yeah, because he wants the initial clone goo guy, whatever. He wants Trunks' power because he's like, oh, that kid's really smart and really strong. And because when you get absorbed by this chromosome. It takes on not only kind of like your form in a grape jelly way, but it also your fighting style, all of your energy. So Vegeta, the real Vegeta, couldn't even fight back, couldn't do anything. But it also takes on your personality. So good and bad sides of that, because when the original guy said, oh, I want Trunks. The clone Vegeta couldn't do it because it's still your son, but it's also his pride saying, I want to get stronger on my own. I'm not stupid at a level of absorbing somebody's form to get stronger that way. It's cheating.
Yeah, very Vegeta logic there.
Really? I mean, it's almost like it was in the script.
Right, there was a script, and they animated from it, I think. I could be wrong, but I think that's how it worked.
It initially starts off as an idea. That first initial step. So having Vegeta's full pride and asinine personality, eventually gets a little consumed with, oh, I'm stronger than this other guy, I'm just going to destroy him.
Yeah, Goten and Trunks fuse and try to take on duplicate Vegeta, who, with the tournament as the last saga, the training with Whis, fighting Beerus, is way ahead of them, even when they can manage to go Super Saiyan 3, because they have not been training nearly as much as they were back in like the Fusion and Buu sagas when they were, you know, trying to master that technique to just match Majin Buu in a fight. So they're really no match for him. Like, they're like, how about this? How about that? How about this, 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 that? But like, duplicate Vegeta just freaking counters all of it and takes it. And they're like, oh, I bet that hit gave you a headache.
After all the nice poses and talk up about everything, it's like, oh, come on. It's always underwhelming from Gotenks. Except for when it isn't, which is rare. And they really, if you notice, they really don't do the same moves twice.
I don't think I have noticed it, because Gotenks really doesn't show up that often. Like, the, in Super, they've only shown up as Gotenks back when in the Golden Frieza saga.
Yep, to fight on that big massive.
And it was only lasted like a few minutes, because, I mean, they can only hold that form for so long.
See, and that's the funny thing, too, about how their time works, is they can, you can stay fused for up to 30 minutes.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're overpowered, I imagine the 30-minute window gets shrunk pretty significantly if you're getting your ass kicked. Yeah, both ends literally, because it's two people as one. We can go with both.
But isn't it funny how, like, it just passed by super quick, 30 minutes, and then we're going to find out
that
how
got
long
dark.
3 minutes will last. Oh, that is true. That's why they really don't go super. They only go Super Saiyan 3 when they absolutely have to, because the increased power or energy consumption does start feeding into that time. I forgot about that. You're kind of burning the candle on both ends on that one. It's two different buttholes.
Goku shows up.
Two different people.
Instant transmissions, because he's like, I'm back up to full strength.
Yeah,
and he's like blasting himself from one end of King Kai's planet and catching it on the other. And King
Speaking of kids,
oh, I forgot to mention the...
I'm not foreshadowing anything.
I forgot to
kids.
Mention
saying,
the amazing moment with King
up.
Kai, where
so we open with
like,
episode 46.
What's up with you, King Kai? Why are you so honorary? Are you holding like a grudge? It's like you're holding a grudge against me or something.
Slithering away, like, that was supposedly destroyed by the clone Vegeta. Like,
he's like, of course I have a grudge. I hold a grudge against you.
And like I already said, about 3 minutes goes on forever. Destroying King Kai's planet as usual.
Portafu? Potafu? Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, it's a potafu.
He's like, you see this thing above my head? It's not there for decoration. And then King Kai, once Goku gets back up to full strength, senses that Gotenks and Vegeta are fighting. Not sparring, but fighting.
Yeah,
and then
and
brings it to Goku's
Vegeta's
attention.
About to
he
blast
picks up
away
on it. Like,
and kill Goten and Trunks.
That's not right.
And Goku's
why are they
like,
doing
Vegeta,
this?
Would you really
so
just kill both of our sons?
Goes up to,
and he doesn't really get the whole,
Parfuma,
that's a copy,
whatever
not
is.
The real Vegeta.
Smells great,
thing, and
I'm
he's
sure.
Like,
I'm sure. Pot of food, that's right. Yeah, I want a pot of food.
He's like, hold on, can you explain that
just
again?
When Goku
I don't get it.
Isn't that kind of funny that that came in? So we instant transmissions there, and that's just when, or just in the nick of time when the fusion ends. So now we're back to both the boys, Goku versus Vegeta.
Naivete. The umlaut? Or is that what that's called? Oh, okay.
Goku being so stupid again, you can't even tell if it's grape jelly Flinted. Or Vegeta. Well, then again, one of you is all purple and slimy, and the other ones, you're kind of see-through. Because Vegeta's time is running very short, and so is his patience for Goku's... What's the plural of naive? Naiveness?
Tilda Swinton?
Naivety? I like that one.
Oh, Matilda. No, I'm thinking of actress Tilda Swinton.
What do you call that? The little squiggly on the last letter? No, that's a double dot is a umlaut.
Oh, Mara Wilson.
I just heard that. Tilda. It's... send me on my way. Now I'm thinking of Matilda. Great movie. Hey, you know, there's worth a Google, and I'm going to do it as soon as I'm off of recording. I want to see what that actress actually looks like all grown up. Yeah, whatever that girl who played Matilda is. No, that yeah, because remember the girl was really good as a child actor. She was in Mrs. Doubtfire. She was in Matilda.
Oh, you're
and
talking about
nothing.
Michelle Trachtenberg in the case of
yeah, I'm gonna
Harriet
have to look
Spy.
Up what she looks like today because that's
I mean she's
a real curiosity. You see everyone else growing up, Lori Beth Denberg from all that. What's the one that went nuts from there? Amanda Bynes. She's all grown up. She still looks the same. The one girl who played Harriet the Spy,
yeah,
in that
I remember
Nickelodeon
her from
movie,
Buffy. Man,
she was in Eurotrip. Still looks the same, just taller. But that girl just straight up
disappeared. Yeah, no, but she's been acting from
the girl
looks
that played Wendy in The Wonder
bunch
Years.
Of TV stuff.
She's a math professor now. She still looks the exact same.
Anyway, what do we talk about on this show? I forget.
Yes.
Is sucking on a pacifier.
And she ended up being that, like, in the role that she played in Eurotrip at the last little bit. She was everything that every kid grew up watching her on screen wanted out of her. A little nerdy freak. She did play a lot of those roles.
Jocko tries to take a picture, but his camera runs out of batteries because, of course, it does. Vegeta actually interrupts the fight between duplicate Vegeta and he's like, you're not fighting good enough.
So Vegeta's only hope at a few more minutes of life is the key to the
super... Yeah, to take a hit better.
Yeah, the key to the superhuman water, the pacifier. So just to get maybe
and he's like, I'd rather die than live with the
transparency
shame. And then
before bye-bye.
Goku says like, whose side are you on?
So he does. And... mid-fight, Goku stops and is like, is he really... okay. That must mean something. Goku.
Yeah, because both
he's
Vegeta, like the duplicate Vegeta, can go Super
better.
Saiyan Blue,
and then
just
Goku's
like
you do know that if
Goku and Vegeta
he wins,
can,
you die
in their regular forms,
and
so they can pretty much match blow for blow. But then, Old Man Cockroach says, "Oh,
yeah,
if you destroy
like,
the original
like,
host,
you'll die if
thing,
your clone
you can,
wins.
It will significantly
like,
weaken them." And so Trunks and Goten go off to find, and Jocko go off
Goku,
to find.
Just,
the
make
original
better,
host thief
really,
purple
he's
man
watching a, like,
who Vegeta
a sim
like,
world
threw against the cliff because he's like,
what
I don't
would be like if him
you.
And Goku went all out and he's just like getting pissed off at how poorly he's doing against Goku.
It's just a puddle. The liquid is back to just being a puddle. Yeah, it is lurking. Trunks and Goten. And Jocko almost gets put in front of it, but it just goes around him to get after.
He threw him through a mountain. So they fly through that mountain, tracking the body's shaped hole. They find the impact site. It's not there.
Oh, blasting away the tendrils of the... Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, before he started monologuing, yep. Yeah.
And so the cockroach guy is like, okay, it only wants power. So if I was it, I would be over there with still fighting. That's our best bet. No, it's right. It lured you into a trap, and then it goes for, who did it go for? Goten?
Yeah, I'll tell the Galactic King that you drew a mustache on his picture.
He's like, nope. No, he's like, oh, come on, I'm so worthy of absorbing. But Jocko, I will give it to him. He actually did a pretty stand-up job of, you know, putting up a decent fight. Yeah.
Oh, right. I love that they're like, go destroy the thing, and they're like, we'll destroy the thing.
And then when he blasted off with the rockets to get away from it.
And they just fly back to Vegeta.
He's
and
like,
just
oh no, my suit can only do this once a day. Oh well, I'm still alive at least. Well, now you're going to drop like 6,000 feet. And of course, the next time you see him, his face is all bruised up. We've got bumps all over it. It was great.
And he starts to
so in Vegeta's
like
final seconds, where he's most transparent,
oblivion.
He tries to save Trunks from the being absorbed.
Because when you want magic, go to Disneyland.
Because yeah, that they realize they can feel
and magical death.
The real Vegeta's energy dissipating.
I don't know that I'm okay with
time's really running short, so they go
here.
Over to try and help him out. The blob. Of goo, the chromosome follows them there, goes for Trunks. Vegeta senses it, spits out the pacifier, turns around, tries to block him, but it's like too late.
And yeah, Monaka saves the day by
he's trying to magical fairy himself away to Deathland, like it's a Disney vacation. And my God. When you think of death, think Disney. Brought to you by the Holocaust. Oh my God.
Yeah. Duplicate Vegeta is like
Wikipedia
cracking.
Says it,
like there's like these
where
red
they got all their
that
money.
Start to show in him, and he's like, ah.
You know, trust everything you read on the internet. So, what a time for Monaka to snap out of his freaking little trance state that he's always in. And he just takes one, like, shock step, which happens to be perfectly placed on the core in the middle of this.
Yeah, he blasts him away. He just,
that
like,
Vegeta is dying trying to protect
generic
Trunks
energy
against,
blast
that
and
Trunks somehow had time in that, like, split second to sprout, like, 17 tears going down his face.
And then the cockroach guy is just like, oh, thank
so
you.
Now everything's weakened.
This
Goku
is all
realizes
thanks
it.
To
the
Monaka,
other Vegeta.
And they lock up the chromosome again with the pacifier key.
And he's got like static going around him like he's Emperor Palpatine in the end of Empire Strikes Back. Oh, no, that was Return of the Jedi. Yeah, it was. And so Goku
he even says
Vegeta,
like I've got
to fight
Vegeta. Well, because the strongest fighter in the universe is here to is here watching. And Goku's too stupid
so
to put together
again,
that it's like
lucky
if Monaka's the strongest person
the
in the universe, he should fight duplicate
and
Vegeta.
Instilling
and not
the
me.
Lie even further. And the only thing about Monaka saving
most
the day again,
powerful
like,
fighter in the universe.
Freaking now, Goku's even further under the impression that, oh, Monaka's unbeatable. He just did the right thing at the perfect time. He's...
I mean, my mom isn't stronger than Brett or Aaron.
Yeah.
If I had, like, it's... Hulk Hogan there... Oh, no, because he's the strongest fighter that I could think of.
But is it really Menaka's fight when it's, like, kind of your...
And I'm like, Hulk, go break up the fight, partner, please. And he's like, okay, Cameron.
Life is on the line. Would you trust it to Menaka? Well, that's like saying if you were at a family reunion and Aaron got into a fight with Brett, that you would be like, Mom, come save Aaron's ass. Yeah. Why would Hulk Hogan be at our family reunion? Is he adopted too?
Doing laundry?
Oh, okay. So that, and that just about ends episode 46.
I'm late to those all the time.
Except a little bit of cinematic foreshadowing in this. You see a dark, destroyed area. Well, I'll say a building and rubble outside of it. And a person running down a hallway.
I mean, I'll take that over. Oh, no, Goku and Goten got stuck in the back of a delivery truck on another wacky adventure. And they even referenced the last road trip episode where they're like, this is as bad as stinky as Videl's toilet water.
It might be. Or somebody's late to a blueprint review meeting. You know, and they're like, oh, no, I meant to get these plans out before they blew up this building. But
well, no, it's the water that they got from the hot springs back that's in coming up, the early episodes, like episode one or two.
It's really going to flip some heads.
I wish that it wasn't referencing something that we had seen.
No. What's a... Oh, man. I meant to say that, too. It was Goten says, so this water's more fancy than Videl's toilet
water?
Yeah,
the one with
like,
Beerus as Menaka.
Okay, what is Videl
fight?
Doing in her toilet? Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it's like, okay, we almost saw Bulma naked. Now you're referencing what Videl's doing in the bathroom. Where are we supposed to read this? As going, because... I mean, the Back to the Future references were fun. The 80s comedy was fun. Overall, not a bad little couple of fillers. Like you said, what was it? Episode 42 was a really good one. It was really
no,
comical.
No, no, you'd
I
kick my ass
at
Dragon Ball Z games.
When Beerus snapped and got into it. Like, he's just like, oh, okay, just go after it. Just do it. Okay, here we go. Like, okay, take some Ritalin, a little less Adderall. Because he snapped it there. But next episode that we're going to do, we're really going to have a lot of fun. Sticking with the Dragon Ball theme, you mentioned to me, what was it, the other day or something about something like that. You were going to try and kick my ass at Dragon Ball Z games? Dude, actually, the only Dragon Ball Z game I play, not the only one I have, but the only one I play is Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, and that's a single player one because it's so easy to... like fight in it because it's
I think
more
you're
story
gonna kick
based
my
than
ass
it is
when
like
both pretty evenly matched
about the fighting.
You can
but
play Yamcha.
The other Dragon Ball Z games I have are kind of
isn't that
like
the biggest handicap
Mortal Kombat,
that you can give
where
yourself?
You gotta have like 14 arms just to get a fatality. I'm like, nope, I don't need to memorize this many button combinations when I have hard enough time trying
excuse
to
excuse me sure you dropped your keys up
oh,
he
before.
Died All I did was tap his shoulder.
God, I sound like I'm 60. I have hit my head a lot. But anyway, so did you want to do or blah, 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 not did. So you think you're going to kick my ass in that when we're both pretty evenly matched? Well, okay, I'll play as Yamcha then. Yeah, I think. Yeah, actually it is, because then it's like, oh shit, I can't let him touch me once.
or he reaches out for the wallet and then like he trips See, now that's over where the like Yamcha there's like a giant pile of cans of beans
like,
that just
like, I would
falls
never get on
directly
TikTok.
On him. And you just see
Anything
blood and guts
TikTok,
just
I,
go
I just
everywhere
don't get it,
and
it's like,
the other person
a person will
like,
put out an original
last
video
time I give
and
anyone
then
a
you
wallet
see a thousand
back.
Copies of it. And it people's own interpretations like, okay, that's not my thing. But yeah, they should have done more like actual real life situations of Yamcha dying like that, where it's like a person in a supermarket, sir, you dropped your wallet. Oh, thank you. Oh, Yamcha dead. Just do that.
Or he goes
Theft
and he
Auto
catches
five,
the, like tries to get the 5-year old. The 5-year old falls on him and he dies on the way to, and he falls down and you just see like the X's on his eyes and the 5-year old runs down the aisle oblivious.
You see a little, like, you see Yamcha walking down the aisles of Walmart. A little 5-year-old kid's climbing the shelves to get something off the top shelf. The whole shelf wobbles a little bit. Only one single can of peas falls on Yamcha. Boom! Dead. That'd be a good one.
I mean, I do love the Funko Pop dead Yamcha.
What they should have done is do all those dead Yamcha memes. They should have hit real hard during the pandemic. They should have really, really, like during the quarantine times. Because then it's like, excuse me, sir, COVID dead Yamcha picture. Just every little bodily function, just dead Yamcha. And then just put COVID over it. Oh, this person went outside and breathed. Dead Yamcha with COVID. Instead of a halo, it'd be like a coronavirus cell over his head. I almost got it just to say, you know, this is a collector's item
All right,
I
so
never
that...
want to open. But I know,
and that closes us out for
better.
The Universe 6 and duplicate Vegeta sagas.
Places.
And next time
put it
we
in
will
the kid,
be starting
the litter box, like
a whole
be
new
daily
one
thing, like
Future
Elf
Trunks
on a
saga.
Shelf. Shit, it'd be like every day, find the dead Yamcha, and I'd like take pictures of it in a broken toilet at work and put it up on Facebook. Like, okay, you never know where he's gonna end up. Up in a ceiling, right next to a security camera. Dead Yamcha. Can't escape it. So anyway. All right, so the next episode we'll be doing,
Okay.
This is a deep one. I'll give you a little bit of not foreshadowing or spoilers, but this one goes deep. Just when you think you figured out, it's got a good twist to it because something seems obvious and it doesn't make sense. And then you get led on. And you're like, okay, but where's the backstory to all this? That actually, how did this all happen? And then you're like, wait, so it, okay.
The Komasan.
It's a bit of a mind fuck. But the enemy is not the enemy. You'll figure it out. It's a really, this one, it's more, I love anything that takes place in the future.
Okay.
Well, as far as like the future Trunks, part of it because it's a lot more cinematically done. It's a little more, everything's a little darker. Everything feels a lot more emotion behind it.
This is Cameron, really, and remember really to beer good. Us.
Oh, and that liquid makes an appearance. That Monaco was helping Bulma with? No, not that. Yeah, with the funnel. That it will make an appearance in the next couple episodes. Actually, it did in the preview for just like a frame. But don't go back and watch it. You'll see it next episode. All right. So that'll close us out for this episode of Relative Rewind Dragon Ball Super. Until next time, this is Kevin. And be kind, rewind. We'll catch you next time. All right. So that'll close us out for this episode of Relative Rewind Dragon Ball Super. Until next time, this is Kevin. And be kind, rewind. We'll catch you next time.